All right, welcome. Our guest today is Hoist Gracie. For those of you who don't know who Hoist Gracie is and you're listening to this podcast, you're probably lost. He's a UFC Hall of Famer, a UFC legend. He was around from day one. He's one of the men responsible for this global thing today that is the UFC. He's a true pioneer of the sport that in the initial tournaments went in, didn't know who was fighting. When every man represented their own martial art, he went in with Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, came out on top for the first two, submitted everybody. He's an intense guy. He's an interesting guy. He had interesting perspectives on Jiu-Jitsu and its current state today, and especially in regard to the teaching of it. There was some things that could have been asked that, you know, I'm not going to disrespect the legend, man. He can be controversial, and I think he knows that. So I think he's aware that some interviewers will ask questions that can sort of lead to headlines, for lack of a better word. And I think he's aware of that. So he was very cagey to begin with. But I think once he sort of learnt that we weren't trying to call him out or, you know, do anything like that, he started to open up a bit, started to warm up a bit, got a few laughs out of him. Just a genuinely intense person. And I dig that. I have to respect that about him. It's not just a persona. He's legit. He's a samurai. Yeah, sponsors. The Fight Factory. This episode's brought to you by the fightfactory.com.au. Head there, check out all the cool shit they've got on offer. Head to their Facebook page, The Fight Factory Australia. You can head to my Instagram page, which is RYJWilliams. Also, email me at Ryan@thefightfactory if you feel like there's any guests that should be on. If you want to come on the podcast, if you have a product you're trying to promote, we're open to it all. This is a young podcast. We're just beginning. We're open to any guests, man. As you can expect, I was quite nervous before this one. I was very starstruck, which I knew was going to happen. The whole build up to it, I knew I was going to be a bit starstruck, but I chilled out towards the end and stopped being such a fanboy. But very honoured. I was very honoured that he took the time to come sit down with me, and it was awesome. Bruce Gracie, hope you enjoy it. Bucka, 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 bucka. Ha ha. You know the deal. This is me, dog. Beast by the Supreme. Alright, won't keep you too long. Thanks for coming, man. How many times have you been out to Australia now? I was here last time you did a seminar.
About 12 times.
12 times.
Years. 13 years.
Yeah. 13 years. Shit, I'll get you a bit closer to that mic. Okay. Alright. How do you feel that Australia's jiu-jitsu is now compared to, say, Brazil and the States? Do you think it's catching up, or has it caught up? Just in general, but not so much in the competition sense of things. We'll do both. So in the competition sense of things, as well as self-defense.
On the self-defense, I think they're far behind because there's only Luke teaching the self-defense part over here.
Yeah.
So... Oh, you teach yourself the defense too? So it's very far behind on that. But the whole world is behind on that.
Yes.
They think the jiu-jitsu is just grappling.
Yeah. When we were talking to Pedro Sal a couple of months ago, he said that he thought the starting point for that was when competitions came around. And as soon as there were points that were able to be scored, that's when people started to forget about the self-defense aspects of things. Would you agree with that sort of statement?
It's easier to teach the point system instead of self-defense. The self-defense, you have to know to be able to teach.
Yeah.
It's the point system. It's pretty much get together and just spar people.
Yeah.
So
it seems to be following a similar trend to sports like Taekwondo and Judo, where as soon as they became like tournaments and whatnot, that's when it all, you know, the street aspect started to be forgotten.
Yeah, pretty much.
Do you think is there any way of reversing that? Do you think there's a chance to reverse and sort of start from? Do we have to start from scratch or?
No, people are realizing that point system it's not going to help them on a street fight situation.
Yeah. And I think a lot of, when you see a lot of these elite championship level grapplers go into things like MMA, they're getting caught out when they're rolling for, big time. Especially, the last main UFC card with McGregor and Holly Holm, it was sort of caught out a lot. A lot of the media was talking about how that was a win for jiu-jitsu, in that these two elite strikers just got dragged into a dogfight by two good grapplers. Like Misha Tate, she's a good grappler, good wrestler. Especially Nate Diaz, I saw that he had Cron in the corner as well.
Yep.
Which helps a lot. Anyway. Take it back to the beginning, man. Through doing these interviews and just like getting to know a lot of martial artists throughout the years, you sort of, a question you begin to ask is, how did you get involved in your sport? Whereas your family is sort of an exception to that, in that the name Gracie itself is synonymous to jiu-jitsu. Being born into that family, was there ever a sense of choice whether you were going to learn jiu-jitsu or not?
Not really.
No. Like, was it
not really? No. Yeah, so it's just every Monday, Wednesday, and Fridays we got to go train.
Yeah.
That's the thing to do.
And did it just feel normal? Like, I'm sure growing up, you didn't have the outside perspective that you were a Gracie. It was probably just the norm. You were just, were you just growing up as a normal kid? Did you just feel like a normal kid growing up? Or?
Yeah.
Yeah.
With the protection.
Yeah.
Of the name.
Yeah. Did you find that having the name would get you into fights? Did people challenge you because of your name?
No.
No.
As soon as they find out, silly. They're like, okay. We know what you guys do.
So it was a pretty big deal being a Gracie in Rio back then as a kid.
Oh, yeah. Famous. Even today.
The family was famous.
Yeah. Even today.
Oh, yeah, of course, today. Yeah.
Were you expected to fight, like, competitively? Is that something that was expected? Or were you just expected to learn?
It's something that we want to do.
Yeah.
But there's so many of us around. Sometimes somebody, one of a couple, get overlooked.
Yeah. It seems to be something that was almost ingrained into your... the Gracie DNA.
It was, my father made teachers, made instructors, not fighters.
Yeah.
We just fight to prove that our self-defense style works.
Yeah, which it did. Now, when you first came out to America, how did that all come about? How were you first proposed the idea of moving to America?
Jorge needed somebody to help out watching his kids.
Yep.
So,
like a babysitter?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Were you ever reluctant to leave Brazil?
I was 17 at the time.
Shit.
So, I was 17 years old. Not thinking. Back then, didn't think much, but today the world became a small place.
Yeah. Big time. And who was already out? Who was already out at that time?
Horton was in the United States.
Was he the only one?
And his wife liked the way I hang around with the kids and take care of the kids, the little ones.
Yeah.
So, they invited me over.
Now, with I wanted to just jump in quickly about the belt system, because you a couple of years ago started wearing, I think it's the dark blue belt. What's the rationale behind that? What's your reasoning for bringing that back?
There was, back in the day with my father when he first learned, there was a white belt, a blue belt, and a Royal Navy blue belt for the instructor.
Yeah.
There was no black belt. There was no, when they learned, there was none of that.
So there was no black belt, red bar?
There was none of that.
How did that come about?
It was about 68, 70. They create the federation in Brazil.
Okay.
And they build the belt system. And they award my father the red belt.
Okay.
And Uncle Carlos. And then, but since everybody was getting promoted because of the tournaments, because they win tournaments, my father, after a while, first he agreed, but then he's like, okay, hold on. People getting promoted because they win tournaments, not because they know the system.
Mm.
So my father started to step away from it and start to wear his the Royal Navy blue again.
Yeah.
Since he passed away, I always got promoted by him.
Yeah.
Don't want to get promoted anymore. That's it. Stops right there. Put a belt like his with his signature on the end.
Yeah.
It stops right there.
Sort of hold fast to that tradition, which is cool. The Gracie Challenge, is that something that, did that start in Brazil, or is that something that only came about when you guys got over to America?
It started, that's the same concept from Brazil.
Okay.
but it came about in America.
Yep.
And people thought as the Gracie, they're challenging everybody to a fight.
Yeah.
No, we're not challenging everybody. You say yours is good, I say mine is good. Let's find out. There's only one way.
Yeah.
Oh my
goodness. How dare you? That's all right.
Cut.
There was one famous fight that I was watching, especially before this. I was kind of just researching as much as I could. That fight with the Kung Fu fighter.
Jason DeLucia.
That's the one. Yeah. It has millions of views on YouTube. Is there any backstory to that? Or not even that one in particular. Are there any crazy stories you've got regarding the challenges where people come in?
Jason just came in.
Yeah.
He wants to fight. I heard about it, that we fight at the academy.
Yeah.
So he called in, scheduled to come in. Okay. So Horton told me, hey, I need to don't finish this one fast.
Yeah, I noticed that.
Take a while on this one. I need an X amount of footage to finish the inaction videos. Or you're going to have to do another one again.
Yep.
I was like, all right, I'll make it last.
Because I remember the commentary, you had his back and you're just digging the elbows in. And it was like, Hoist could choke him at any moment, but he decides to let it go. I was just thinking, that's brutal. That's funny, man.
You fought Jason DeLucia again. Yeah, UFC.
In the UFC, yes.
Oh, really?
Break his arm.
Yep. Yeah. Then he signed up for the UFC.
Mm. And he was top
representing boxer. Kung Fu, so they brought him in.
How did that all come about, the UFC? How was that proposed to you? Was it Horion that brought it to your attention?
Horion created the UFC.
Yeah.
So when he built the show.
Yeah.
And him talked to my father, they had to put somebody to fight.
Yeah.
So they decided to put me.
Yeah.
It's just not big, too big, not too small. In the right weight division, let's say. Because if it was much, his brothers, they're bigger.
Mm.
Cousins, they're smaller and bigger. And brothers, they're smaller. Wouldn't be as impressive if they were bigger. And might take a little too long if they were too small.
Mm.
So, plus Horton trusts my technique.
Yeah. Did you guys have was there any sort of backup plan if you were to happen to lose? And do you think that altered jiu-jitsu history, or would it have only just sort of delayed it? It was jiu-jitsu something that was an inevitable thing to come out?
I had no idea.
Yeah, I didn't think
about it. He just set up the fight, told me I was going to fight, done. I'm a fighter, man.
That's it.
How old were you when you won that, the first
26.
One? 26. How did you spend that prize money, that big, big check? That
I went to Disneyland.
Did you ever think the UFC would be like those small shows? I think it was Mobile, Alabama. That was the first show. Where was the first show? Was
it Denver, Colorado.
Colorado.
Are you guys trying to test my memory?
No, I'm trying.
I'm just curious.
What's the name of that fighter again?
Yeah,
25 years ago. And what was that location again? 20 years ago? They're testing my memory.
I want to test your memory.
You're doing well.
About Luke.
Yeah. I'm going to imposter here. Did you ever think it would turn into something as big as it is today? Like even with women's at UFC?
We didn't know about women.
No. Even Dana White
I like my woman. I'm feminine.
Yeah.
Don't want to get home and get beat up. But, hey, it's a free country, free world, man. They can do whatever they want.
Some of them are mega stars now. Especially like that triple threat that they got going now with Ronda, Holly, and Misha. They're just as big as a lot of the male stars.
Yep.
It's crazy, man. How into the UFC and Bellator are you these days? Are you like an avid fan, watching, keeping up to date, or do you sort of just check in every once in a while?
I watch the champions.
Okay.
I watch the champions.
Is there any reason why just champions? Or?
Because they're the champions. They know how to use strategy.
Strategy.
You see, it's not just
anyone you like in particular from the current fighters?
Man, I like Liam McGeary from Bellator.
Yeah.
English guy, very good.
Yep.
Yeah, he's pretty good.
Good grappler.
Mm.
Hits like a mule.
Mm-hmm.
How do you feel about, in particular, the scoring system today regarding jiu-jitsu, in that if a wrestler takes a jiu-jitsu guy down, he might be off his back. In the eyes of the judges, that wrestler's winning the fight, even though the jiu-jitsu guy could be throwing up triangles, elbows, he's really active off his back. But as a judge, they're not seeing that as winning the round. Do you think that's a problem, or is that something the jiu-jitsu guys just have to deal with?
He takes me down, okay, and he gets beat up.
Mm-hmm.
But he won the fight. Okay, go ahead.
Okay, yeah.
I have no problem with that whatsoever.
Yeah. Well, especially a good kid at the moment is Brian Ortega. I think he's out of Gracie University. He's like, he's not even worried about being put on his back. He's just thrown up. He's so active that he's more dangerous. That it's not even worth taking him down almost. That's good in that jiu-jitsu is starting to make a comeback in that way. The guard is starting to become active. And whereas I think a lot of people in the last sort of 10 years have been training somewhat anti-jiu-jitsu, in that they've learnt jiu-jitsu to just survive and to just get up. What's wrong with that? No. Yeah, I suppose if you've got to know where your strengths are at the end of the day, don't you?
Yep.
So if a boxer came into your school and said he wants to fight MMA, how would you approach?
I'll teach him how to survive on the ground, not how to beat somebody on the ground.
Yeah.
But just survive, bring the fight home.
Yeah.
Make the fight go stand up.
How do you spend most of your time these days? Are you spreading between?
Travel about 7 months of the year all over the world. Okay. Teaching.
And how much time do you dedicate towards yourself in that staying at home and learning and just practicing your jiu-jitsu?
5 months.
5 months. The other five? That's good.
Five months. That's the maths. We're testing your maths. We're testing your memory. We're all over it here.
That's a jiu-jitsu guy. Doesn't take blows to the head. Do you find...
It's okay.
So I just didn't know the answer. I was like, what's the other answer? Anyway.
If you said 6 months, you'd be worried.
is that because you feel that teaching, in that you teach for the majority, do you feel that that helps you a lot more in your jiu-jitsu? Is that something... Do you enjoy one more than the other? Or do you feel one's more important than the other? Or you don't really think about it?
Like I said to Bellator, when I was getting ready for the fight, people were saying, wow, man, you've been out for so long. My drawing is good. My equipment, my gun, is all good. I'm on sight. I'm on target. I can draw fast. I can hit the target. My equipment, my backpack, everything is good. Everything is good to go. I am in shape.
Yeah.
I just haven't been to war.
Yeah.
So, but it doesn't mean that because I haven't been to war, I'm sitting at home getting fat. I'm at the same weight from 22 years ago when I first started the UFC. So,
still in shape.
Did you have to do anything different for this training camp in that how you trained compared to how you trained initially in the first UFC?
Just set up the strategy.
Just the strategy. Just did you have a particular strategy going in?
It's exactly what you saw in the fight. That's what we train for. That's why he got so lost. That caused good strategy.
Yep. Who was involved in your training camp? Did you bring anyone in specifically?
Hoyle was the main coach.
Yep.
And then James Strom with the strength and conditioning. Same guy that I've been using for a long time.
Joe Schilling?
17 years. And then Joe Schilling and Mark. From the yard.
Because if you watch...
With the stand-up, yes.
Before the fight went to the ground and ended, your striking was actually... it was surprising, like, because you were throwing good kicks, and then Shamrock didn't know what to do. It was like Shamrock was super hesitant, which is the opposite way you'd think it would have gone.
Yep.
Did you feel that hesitation in him?
Yep. And we planned for that.
Yep. That's cool, man. Now, was this just a one-time thing?
It was a one-time thing. I only signed a one-fight contract.
And how did it come about? Did they just call you? Say, we've got a...
Shamrock is the one that keep bugging the Bellator to fight me.
Okay.
And they give Kimbo, and even after he lost to Kimbo, he came back and keep bugging Bellator. And so Bellator offered, asking me, I was like, sure.
Did anyone call you out after it? Were people calling you out?
I heard there's a bunch calling me out.
I'm sure.
Like, leave me alone, people.
Yeah. just one last thing, we'll let you go. One,
not often, just yet. I've got a couple of questions. Well, just a couple of little ones.
But one thing that guys like you and guys who excel and become masters in any particular area, they can generally translate that into other areas of interest. Do you have any other hobbies? Do you have any hobbies outside jiu-jitsu?
I shoot.
Shooting?
Quite a bit.
As in rifle shooting?
Guns.
Or guns?
Handguns.
Handguns.
Rifles.
How did you get involved in that? Just a genuine interest?
Passion. Yep.
America.
America.
Yep.
America got here.
Yep.
Did you ever get involved
it's
with...
It's the feeling of freedom.
Yeah.
People That's misunderstand awesome. That.
I'm sure, man.
Why people have guns in America. Mm. But we have guns not to protect ourselves against a bad guy, a robber. For that, you call 911, call the cops.
Yeah.
Not to protect ourselves against an invasion from a different country. That's why we have the military.
Yeah.
We have guns to protect ourselves against the government. Mm. Government takes away the guns from people, they can do whatever they wanna.
Mm. I'm sure if they came after
history repeats itself. Mm. Go look at the history books. People seems to forget very easy, but all the dictators out there that ever disarmed the people did whatever they wanted.
Yeah,
that's true.
That's interesting,
and that's a bit macabre and dark.
Yeah,
from the beginning, it's all nice. Oh, now it's just for to control the violence. Well, you can't buy guns in South America.
Mm. Yeah, yeah. Because guns don't kill people.
You cannot buy guns in Europe that stop the crime.
No.
The only weapon that the gazelle have is the horn. If you take the horns from the gazelle, the predators will stop eating the gazelle. Really?
No.
That gazelle doesn't have a horn. Let's leave that one
alone. He's off limits.
It's off limits. Yeah, right. Yeah.
That's too easy.
Yeah. It doesn't work that way.
Interesting. What did you have to say?
Oh, I was just going to mention Luke from Newcastle. We've got him here. We might as well take advantage of having him on the podcast.
Go for it.
One of the earliest black belts in Australia that come out of any sort of Gracie affiliate school. And he represents himself as your cousin. Do you have any comment? Are you Luke's cousin?
Yeah.
Yeah, because how did you meet Luke? How long ago did you meet him? And what sort of, can you give us a bit of insight into Luke?
Dude, how long? About 13 years ago?
14
years ago?
In Rio?
I have a good story, if you like.
Yeah?
The first year you came out was when I was in Hawaii, when I met my wife, Angela. And Angela mentioned to you that I was in Australia and I was going to come to your seminar, but I couldn't go there. One of my friends went to the seminar and he asked you, did you know me? And you're like, yeah, where is he? I'm going to beat the hell out of that guy.
Yeah, you got some balls marrying into the Gracie family.
And he comes back to where I train. He's like, man, Hoist is looking for you, and he's pissed.
All people to have after you.
Yeah.
That's cool.
That is cool, man.
And do you enjoy? How do you find the standard out at Luke's school and Luke's teaching? He's keeping up with the standards of the Gracie Jiu-Jitsu, the self-defense, all the guys on point out there?
That's the main thing.
Yep.
You see, he tried to stay close to what my father teach as possible.
Mm-hmm.
You think your father would be rolling over in the grave if he knew how jiu-jitsu was being taught today?
Hell yeah.
Yeah. He'd be mad.
Yep.
The majority of schools anyway.
Teach a point system. But what they forget is martial art in general, not just in general, all the martial arts were not made for point system, for tournaments. They were made to defend yourself in a street fight situation. Forget which one is better than the other, which one is good, which one is bad. It's martial art in general was made to defend yourself in a street fight situation.
Mm. And it's everyone's starting to lose sight of that. Do you think like the commercialization of it all, in that it used to be a bit of a niche thing, but now it's such a mainstream, because of the UFC, in a way, but just with the amount of tournaments that are going on and there's prize money able to be won and sponsorships and all these things, it's almost like it's driving people to learn that way.
Not really.
No.
Because when the student comes up to a martial arts school, he doesn't know what ADCC is. Mm-hmm. He never heard of the Worlds, Pan Ams, Naga.
Mm.
He shows up, he wants to learn something to defend himself. And then the instructor guide him into a point system art because it's easy. He doesn't have to know. He doesn't have to spend time teaching self-defense.
And he doesn't have to take time to learn it, the instructor himself.
Probably didn't learn.
Mm. Did you ever get involved in yoga at all? Like, there's a lot of this movement craze going on, and people seem to forget that Hickson was kind of onto that years ago. Is that's not anything you really got involved with?
No.
Is there anything that you used to do outside of jiu-jitsu to help your jiu-jitsu? Like things like your diet. Is something... Do you stick by the Gracie diet?
Yes.
Yeah. So what would a typical day involve for your diet? In that you wake up... Because it's very... It's all to do with the separating of the foods and whatnot.
It's not exactly a diet. It's more of an eating habits.
Okay. Like a lifestyle.
So it's just the way we combine the food. We eat everything. We just combine the food in such a way towards an easy digestion.
Yes. Yes. All right. Well, do you have any seminars coming up in the next few weeks in Australia that you wanted to promote, or are they...
Leaves on Monday. Friday night at Sendai Jiu-Jitsu in Burwood.
Saturday.
Are you going to Ryoma on Saturday? You going to Ivan?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah. Saturday at Ryoma in, I'm pretty sure it's Clayton out there.
Okay. And then Sunday. Yeah.
And then Sunday, I'm not sure where you're going.
There's one, who is Sunday?
Professor Junior, I'm not sure.
Yes.
Oh, Helion Gracie.
Yes, I think so.
And that's in Pakenham.
Yeah.
Oh, people will work it out. Yeah. Where can they find you social media? It's Real Hoist on Instagram.
At Real Hoist.
What is it on? Do you have Twitter?
Same thing. Real Hoist, yep.
All right. And Luke Beston.
What's your name?
Beston Gracie Jiu-Jitsu.
Beston Gracie Jiu-Jitsu in Newcastle.
Newcastle.
Highly recommend it if you're in Newcastle.
Gracie.com.au. Jeez, you got onto that one early.
Yeah.
He's
not mucking around. Part of the family. It comes with it. The domain name comes with the marriage certificate.
Right.
Yeah. Thank you very much,
guys. Thanks for coming on, man. I really appreciate it. Thanks.
Thanks, man.